This morning's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So my plans are to talk about the passage that was read to us from Philippians. I'm going to have a sermon, and then we're going to stand and say a creed together, the Nicene Creed, and then I'm going to put some music on for some prayerful reflection. Now we can put that music on twice, and we're going to be going through till 1:45, just so we've got an idea, and then everyone will be joining us back at 1:45. So just to let you know that in the prayer for reflection, when we play the music, if you want to look at the Bible passage, it's Philippians 2 verses 1 to 11, and it's towards the end of the Bible. So if you want to find that later on, please do so. If you want to find it now, do. There's quite a few Bibles underneath chairs, so if you think that's in your mind, you want to do that, then please do that later on. Okay, so we've heard in the passage that let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ, to have the same mind. Jesus was saying that to the Philippians, and he's saying it to us today. And we've also heard, let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ. So that's what Paul was saying. And Paul was focusing on humility. Humility to have the same mind that was in Jesus. And a question: is humility weak or is it strong? Well, in the Greek culture of the time when Paul was raising up that early Christian community in Philippi, in that Greek culture, humility was generally seen as quite weak. It was a weak option because the focus on that culture was on ambition, on bettering oneself, and on competition. And Paul was showing that community that having humility in following Christ's example, humility is not weak. Humility and selfless love is where we look to others, where we care and love for others more than we follow our own selfish ambition. And we hear in Corinthians that we're asked to boast. Boast in strength, not in weakness, but to boast in the Lord. Not to boast about ourselves. So in Jeremiah, we hear, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and not let the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. Let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. In the knowledge that boasting is from God's love. Boasting about that love which is immeasurable, immense, beyond our understanding. Because God, in his love, has given us gifts to every single person. We've all got gifts. We've heard about the gifts. People have been working out what their gifts are. And they're given to absolutely everybody. Gifts to be the best we can be within the love of God. And to seek the best in others. To seek strength in others and strength in ourselves. It's very easy when we're trying to boost other people or we're looking at our own gifts to see it like a balancing board, like a balancing scale. Somehow in lifting someone else up, we feel sometimes that we have to drop ourselves down to lift them up. Sometimes we don't feel very strong about ourselves and we're quite weak anyway. But we look round and we marvel at other people's strengths. God doesn't want that. God wants us to be the best we can be, absolutely the best. And also, in that best, in that strength, to promote others to be the best they can be. So together, in Christ, we are strong, really strong. Because we know the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. Together, we can be strong. In Christ's love, in God's love. But God gave us free will. We're asked to care for others more than to follow our own selfish ambition. And we're asked to have the same mind in us as was in Jesus. But we've got free will. We choose. We've all got choices. And in making choices, there's things to think about. So we look at sweatshops. We look at the squalid conditions, the poor wages, often child labour. We hear about clothing made in these conditions for very highly profitable, lucrative companies. Choices, free will. We hear about human trafficking and how much money is made. And we know, don't we? Awful consequences, as we've seen in the news lately. Again, choices. Every single human being, has a lifestyle choice to a point. We choose what we do with our time. We choose what we do with our money. And if we look back into industrialised England, we look at Cadbury. We look at the family. They were Quakers. And we hear about John Cadbury and his brother. Very, very successful entrepreneurs. They built up a very successful company. Didn't come easy, though. To start off with, they were selling tea and coffee. It didn't go down very well. They didn't make much money on that. So they moved into chocolate. They used very high quality cocoa, and they put extra milk in, and that enabled them to make chocolate which they could mould into different shapes. So we think Easter eggs. Yeah. And they built a factory in the countryside and a model village just on the outskirts of Birmingham called the Bourneville Estate. And in that estate they built housing, which was good quality housing. They provided medical support. They provided social places for people to gather and create community. And they provided education. And they gave their workers improved living conditions. And John Cadbury said, to alleviate the evils of modern, more cramped living conditions, made a choice. Then we hear about Titus Salt, a bit closer to home in Saltaire. In 1833, Titus took over his father's business. And in 20 years, he became the largest employer in Bradford. to start off with, in developing his textile manufacturing, he had lots of little out factories around Bradford, and he chose to build one very large mill, and again a model village, where all the stages of producing textiles could take place in one site. And the workers' conditions, like Bourneville, were so much improved compared to the squalor in the early industrialised England. Titus was a very private man. He didn't say very much. He didn't boast in himself at all. But we hear about other people talking about his purposes. And we hear about Lord Harewood. And he said, Titus' purpose was to do good and to give his son some employment. Another chap, David James, said, well, there were a couple of purposes. There was economic, a Christian duty, and a ready workforce who were living healthy, virtuous, godly lives. And then we've got Schindler. He was a German industrialist, and he was a member of the Nazi Party. He saved 1,200 Jews by employing them in the enamelware and ammunition factories. And if you've seen Schindler's List, the film, you'll know the story, or you may have read about it. The story portrays in Schindler's List as Schindler being an opportunist, initially motivated by profit, who showed extraordinary initiative, tenacity, courage, and dedication to save lives. And despite how hard he tried, at the end of the film, there's a tremendously touching bit. When he knew it was all over, he wept. I could have saved so many more, he said. And then there's us. There's our story. There's our choices. We know our story. We know our choices. We know, and God knows. And I'm quite new to, as you know, to Starbeck and to St. Andrews. And I look and I hear and I listen to stories. And I see so much care and I see so much love. I see many, many carers in our community here. People caring for family, for poorly family, for elderly family, for family with special needs and challenging needs. I see care in the community, care in the workforce. And I see lots and lots of love and care and fellowship here in church. Choices. We have free will. We have choices. We're asked to follow the humility shown in Christ's life. If we look at the next section of the reading, in verses 6 to 11, that was actually a really early hymn written by Paul, and it outlines Christ's humility, the humility based on love. The hymn helps us understand the Trinity. That was something very, very important in Paul's message to those early Christians and to both the Jewish and the Gentile communities. And a lot of that hymn in verses 6 to 11 is echoed in the Nicene Creed, which we'll say later, where it looks at the Trinity, one God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Paul sought to show the Jewish community the link between the Old Testament to Jesus, the Messiah, and to the Greek community, the importance of believing in one God and not worshipping the many idols, which was the practice of many of the Greek community. In verses 6 to 7, Paul talks about form, substance, where Jesus was the same as God, and he emptied himself. He humbled himself. The same as God, the same form, the same substance, yet he emptied himself. And the Nicene Creed, which links with Paul's hymn, Jesus was the same substance as the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. There was equality, yet emptying. Humility to serve. A human being incarnate on earth. God, so mighty, so powerful, so glorious, beyond our understanding, in human form, humble, serving, loving, showing us how to live our human lives. And we see in the Nicene Creed, for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. And in becoming human, Jesus lived a life in which he demonstrated humility. And as disciples of Christ, as followers, we're asked to follow the same, to bear witness by showing humility in our lives. To look to the interests of others, to not do things for our own selfish ambition. And as followers of Christ, as disciples of Christ, in accepting Christ as our Lord, we strive to have that same mind, to have the same love. And we're going to affirm our faith by saying the Nicene Creed together. And then a time of prayerful reflection, thinking on what we've talked about, what this passage is saying to us about humility, what it's saying about free will, what it's saying to us in our faith and the humility of Christ, and what that means to us. So, if we stand in a moment to say the Nicene Creed, I'll say the light text if you want to join me in with the bolder text, and then we'll sit and we'll play a piece of music called O Magnum Mysterium, O Great Mystery. There's some pictures that go along with the music you may want to watch, or you may want to be quiet and close your eyes, be prayerful. And we'll perhaps play it twice through. So let's stand, if you're able, to say the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father. God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, with the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.